B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Got our beefs, bro.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. We're here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. And, Nick, this is going to sound heartless and below your pay grade, but there is a reason. Will you please give me a Diet Coke from the kitchen? There was a scenario where I could not end there. I know it's below you. You have every right to say no.
There's somewhat of a congregation.
No, I understand, though. I completely get why you didn't get one.
I do. Thank you. I'm not ordering Nick around. Thank you, Nicholas. I'm not ordering Nick around.
Nick just taking one for the team.
It's all over.
Oh, it's over now. Okay,
but I have to be on the microphone, so there you go.
Thanks. Sure,
this is my coffee.
Nick feeling it this morning. He, I heard was saying that if he was 10 years ago going to see a screening of a 3-hour Batman movie, he'd be perfectly fine. But
now,
the lack of sleep is kicking his ass. Seeing that he got out of the theater, what, around 10, a little after 10 o'clock last night for a 7 o'clock movie?
Plus the emotional toll.
Right.
I mean, you're not walking out of there with a dry eye.
No. I mean, although I wonder if that is now purely just for Marvel and not DC. Like, DC might be something he's left in the past. Now, he does have a history with Batman screenings on our show.
We know
that he has a deep, dark history with that, so... the good news is that it wasn't just to go enjoy himself last night. Bird was with him yesterday, so tomorrow we will have...
I saw that online, and I wish I could hear it. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but I will listen on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'll listen to it live.
Yep. Bird's full review of the movie yesterday. Bird was a star during the screening. Matter of fact,
really?
I took my son to go see it, and afterwards, you know, and Bird went, and Nick were there. So after the movie, my son was like, "Hey, that's a cool Batman poster." He's like, "Hey, how about I get your picture in front of the poster? You know, that way, you know, you can remember that you saw it." And he said, "Cool." But the poster was like on the floor, so I hear Bird go, "That's okay. I'll pick it up. I can hold it." So, all right. So he goes and walks over there, and there was a stand that it was sitting on at one point. And instead of just picking up and putting on the stand, Bird accidentally slams into the stand and knocks it over. And everyone turns around like, "What was that sound?" Like, "Oh, sorry about that. Okay.
That was why he was so dominant on the Everett football field.
and then Bird goes, "Oh, I'll just hold up the poster." And I'm like,
This is a guy who's a security guard.
I was like, you don't have to hold up the poster. And he goes, nah, that's cool. And by the way.
John, he's in his 40s.
Bird's the greatest because he just wanted to make everybody happy.
Right.
That's cool.
But I want you to just try to take a look at how awkward it looks to have my son having his picture taken next to a poster with legs.
Yeah, your son at that point. Your son at that point was like, probably like, why are we doing this? This is kind of over.
And then there's like, you know, Bird eventually ends up peeking his head out from behind
it. Yeah, well,
so.
I mean, the camera loves him.
Right on my close-up.
Although in this photo, he kind of looks like Darth Vader with his helmet off.
Yeah.
Wait, is that poster crooked? It looks like it's on a slant. He's like holding it. Like 10 to 2.
You know, what do you know?
10 to 4, whatever.
He was doing us a solid. But yeah, so Bird will have his full spoiler-free review tomorrow. And I think the spoiler-free is because usually it's not, he's just, even if you tried to have him spoil it, you wouldn't understand, I think, what he was saying.
It was docked, there were cars. Yeah. A lot of fire.
That was the Fast and the Furious one. A lot of cars. It was fast cars.
It's some broad.
it's a girl, I don't know.
Some stupid girl. Who cares? Yeah, that's so good. Look forward to hearing that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I figured out the name of the place I was. I was in Captiva Island.
So it's the island next to Sanibel.
Yes, it is. If you go through Sanibel, and I'll tell you, nothing easier than getting to the Fort Myers Airport from that area. They've devised.
Yep.
No way to take the freeway. It's just...
all back roads, baby.
It's all back roads, yep. Baby. But I'll tell you this, is if you go fishing, now my son likes to fish too. So now I have visions of buying a saltwater fishing boat. This is the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see a school of dolphins, and you were... My son was like, wow, look at these dolphins. He's like, can you go closer to them? And the captain goes, I can go closer to him. So he goes closer to him, and wouldn't you know, they somehow get off on like the wake of the boat. They like to play in it. So we had three dolphins jumping all over each other, doing like tricks and like gliding on their sides. I'll tell you that.
Got the video of it?
Yes, I have a 2-minute video of it, but I put a little one up on Instagram, like a little minute one, like a 20-second one. But I'll tell you, as cold hearted as one may be, you get them dolphins around. Those dolphins are the nice stuff, and it's better than when you like swim with them. You ever swam with the dolphins?
I did, and it was one of those things where, of course, I was in Cancun. You know, yeah. Which is, you know, where you're just looking for touristy stuff to do. And it was one of those deals where they put you in this pool and a dolphin, they say, just, you know, stand straight tread water and you're going to feel a dolphin get underneath you and just straighten out when it gets there and it'll push you along. And first when they're saying that, it's like, well, this just doesn't seem right.
Right.
And then so I'm sitting there treading water and my timing of the treading and the dolphin approaching me. Ended up being at the absolute wrong time because as I was pushing my right leg down, I basically punched with my foot the dolphin right in the nose. I just kicked him, boom, right there, and I didn't mean to. And so the dolphin backed off and then started pushing me. It doesn't seem like the most humane thing in the world, the old swimming with the dolphins, does it?
Yeah, I've done it because my kids, like, 5 times. I've rewarded the people with the dolphins 5 times. Mm. And it's nothing. When they're in the wild, it's fantastic. When you're swimming with them, not so much. Because, yeah, I got it where you could, like, grab the fin.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem right, does it?
No.
Like, after I did it, I was like, I don't know if I feel too good about myself.
No, and if you go to Hilton Head or Captiva, especially Hilton Head, they're everywhere. Like, if you go off.
South Carolina coast, they're just, you can see them just, you can stand on the side of the water and you see them flipping around.
Yeah, like if you go off the, anywhere in Harbortown, if you took a rowboat, I mean, you would see like, you'd see a dozen dolphins. So they're around. So I'm not quite sure why they put them in a pool and make them do tricks for you.
Yeah, it is weird. That's strange.
Because they're everywhere. And the rule is you can't feed them. There's a bunch of rules, and especially in South Carolina, you're not allowed to you're not allowed to put them in captivity in South Carolina. Like, you're not allowed to, like, put them in a pool.
Yeah.
And have them push you around. There's many, many rules. They take you, first of all, they take your boating license forever. They just take it away. Like, if they catch you feeding them. And then criminal charges get pressed. So it's quite a bit, which I'm all for. A big fan of the Dolphins. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you missed out on the boat show this past week.
I told you why I don't like boat shows. I like boat shows, but I told you what ruined boat shows for me is that I was at the Newport Boat Show. And we would go every year, and I would go, ooh, look at these boats. Wouldn't mind you know, taking one of these home, wink, wink. And my dentist was on one of the boats, and she's like, oh, hey. And I'm like, hi. And she's like, yeah, my husband and I are buying this. Like, they were buying the boat that we were on.
Oh, really?
So, like, the whole fantasy aspect of it got thrown out the window. they were actually buying a yacht.
Well, you can go see Rocky the Water Skiing Squirrel instead.
Oh, cool.
Does he still make the rounds at the boat show?
He's not at the Newport boat show that I've been at, but maybe the indoor boat shows.
Yeah, the indoor boat shows, the ones that, like, they have at, like, the, you know, big convention center. They've got the little above ground pool, and, you know, every, I think, 90 minutes, they'll bring out this squirrel.
Very depressing, I would imagine.
It's like a squirrel in it's almost like a squirrel-sized life vest.
Yeah, I've seen
that.
That
they put on him, and then there's a little thing that pulls him around on a tiny toy boat. And damned if it isn't the most fascinating thing you'll ever watch.
Random newscasts, you see that occasionally.
The only thing that's more fascinating is the monkey riding a dog that they bust out every once in a while at, like, rodeo.
Or they have they'll have a monkey riding a dog and a mouse riding the monkey.
Well, that's just, you know, that's three levels of excitement.
Yeah.
Who thinks to add that?
Well, I mean, first of all, who thinks to corral a squirrel? Like, who looked at a squirrel and goes, that's something I want to start
playing around.
We're
putting a life vest on you. Who thought of that?
Yeah, I mean, just squirrels, just they're nuisances. Just whoever thought of, like, picking one up and bringing it home.
Because what happens if it, like, falls in the water? Does it have, like, a fit? Is it like when you, like, you know, like, throw a cat in a bathtub?
All those things will turn on you in 10 seconds. They have no brains.
It's what I was about to say. Like, I mean, does it just start flipping out?
Yeah, it just gives you rabies. It just starts attacking you with rabies.
Hmm.
So today I have to go to, if there was one place in America that you said, Fred, you have to go to, that I would not want to go to, is Times Square in New York City. And I am going to, I have to spend the night in Times Square tonight. I absolutely despise it.
Could you have stayed anywhere else other than Times Square? Because I'm like you. If I go to New York City, just if I didn't see Times Square, I would be happy. Like, I've seen Times Square enough in my life that I never want to go back.
Well, there was an option. The event is in Times Square, and there was an option where the guy had paid for this hotel room, and then I did a little research into the hotel, and it was a $60 a night hotel, and ooh. I said, guess who? Where I'm not staying.
Yeah, yeah.
So I booked my own hotel room, yeah, which is literally right next to the place. But, like, tonight I have to go out with friends, and the whole thing. I can't stand Times Square.
I love New York, hate Times Square. Matter of fact, you just take me five blocks away from Times Square, and I love almost everything about that town.
New York has a similar staying power to Vegas. It's good for a couple of days, and then it's time to leave.
New York's like just Manhattan in general?
Yes, Manhattan in general. I love
Manhattan.
My father grew up in Manhattan, so I mean, I spent a lot of my childhood. My grandparents lived in Manhattan on the East Side, so I spent a lot of my childhood going there.
Yeah.
And by the end of the second or third day, I'm like, that's it. I don't want to be here anymore.
See, I could live there.
Really?
I could live in
what bank are you going to have to rob, A, to afford an apartment worth a damn? That's one. But the other part of it is you go to New York and it's crowded everywhere and people aren't happy everywhere. And you do the touristy things. You go to Central Park. You go to Fifth Avenue. You check out those kinds of things. But that's over after a couple of days. There's no real reason to stay.
See, the last three times I was there, we never left the Lower East Side. I just stayed in the Lower East Side. That's all I wanted to do. That's where my friends lived, and that's all
right.
I wanted to do.
And that's where my grandparents lived on York Avenue near in the 50s somewhere. I mean, that's where I was. I never crossed over the park to the other side.
Yeah.
And
I'm on the other side of 50th. I'm on 50th, but I'm on 50th in Times Square.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly where I don't want to be.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I've never seen, I mean, I've been, I mean, my parents are from there. I mean, I've never seen the statue of, not the statue, I've never seen the Empire State Building. I've never seen Rockefeller Center.
That's the thing. You spend enough time there, you go to every spot possible. I've done 30 Rock, I've done Times Square, I've done all that stuff. Empire State Building, you know, I did all of it, and I'm like, all right, fine. You know, there's no, it's not but a you place did, where you're like, oh my God, that's beautiful.
But
look
that's
at the
like
scenery.
Saying, you know, I've gone to Boston, I went to Faneuil Hall, you know, I went to Quincy Market, I've seen everything.
Well, yeah, if you grow up there, I have Cheers. A feeling you feel I mean, differently.
Oh.
No, if you grow up right. there, you feel differently, but still.
You just said I went to Rockefeller Center, I went to the Empire State Building, I've done everything.
No,
Manhattan is enormous.
Examples of, I'm not going to list them all here, I'd be here for a while. My point is, I was just giving examples right. of touristy things I've done.
Sure. So I love Tabula. Like, right, you know, like the Greek, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean dish.
Sure.
And they had a farmer's market in Captiva. And I went, and the guy, there was a guy slinging tabbouleh at the thing. And not only did he tell me that he at one point in Boston had 18 locations, he said he also started Quincy Market. To which I said, why are you sitting here on a Tuesday selling tabbouleh?
Again, he started Quincy Market?
Yes.
Maybe he doesn't quite know the history.
Did he know you were from Boston? He knew
Quincy
you were from Boston
Market.
At the time.
Yes. Well, yes, yes.
And he actually had the balls to tell you that. That's impressive.
Well, I took it as
Quincy. Are you John Quincy Adams by any chance?
Very impressive, sir. Wow.
But didn't they make it like that food court and everything like fairly like within the last 20 some odd years?
No, it's older than that.
I mean, the market's been around since like the 1800s or something like that. Like that.
The current, the way it looks now.
How is it a food court?
It's been like that since at least 40, probably longer.
Yeah, I questioned the validity of his story. Because it didn't seem like if you had started this massive food court and at 18 locations, restaurant, you'd be sitting on a yacht. You wouldn't be selling me tabbouleh at a food thing. All right, Rich, what's coming up on the big what happened last night?
Well, I mean, the Bruins, they got a guy whose trade value couldn't be peaking at a better time. On top of that, we got Wallachs. He's all in a tiff right now because last night, maybe, just maybe, some hope for the Major League Baseball season.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want him to play.
That's because he hates baseball.
It's true. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. It's just like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, and Rich, La La Land, more like Bearsville.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the sweet sound of a player's trade value going through the roof.
McAvoy finds DeBrusque. He'll sprint over the line, high slot. Feeds it over to the right half wall. Bergeron shoots. He scores!
Jake DeBrusque tips this, but it might be a high stick.
After video review, the puck was struck below the height of the crossbar. There's a good goal.
Jake DeBrusque has his first hat trick, and here they come, cascading out of the ice here in Los Angeles.
It is amazing. Listening to the audio of these like last couple away games, they sound like Bruins home games. And it took less than 21 minutes for Jake DeBrusque to register last night's natural hat trick. All this, the cherry on top of an incredible streak that DeBrusque has been on, a 5-game scoring run as he's played alongside Patrice and Marchand recently. But For as well as DeBrusk played last night, the scoring did not stop there. Nope, they had a long way to go.
High slot, the Bruins bring it far, circle centered. Hall shoots, he scores! Taylor Hall took a cross-ice pass and delivered it to Eric Halla. Halla ripped it home. His second of the period. Make it 7-0 Bruins.
Seven goals total in their shutout, absolute blowout of the Kings. Jeremy Swayman, very good, stopping all 34 shots he faced. That's his third shutout of the season. All of this making for their longest win streak of the year. Here's Bruce Cassidy on DeBrusk and how he's been playing recently.
When he's on pucks, forecheck, he's very dangerous. If he can, you know, consistently be strong on pucks on the walls, like that's an area that most wingers, all guys go through, young guys. And that takes almost years to, you know, Pasta's still part of that for him. So I don't want to say what he'd end up, but that's a pretty valuable player there, can play in all situations.
And it is kind of wild because just last week while we were out of town, you know, DeBrusk spoke to the media for the first time, and he's still not talking about the trade request he had at the beginning of the year.
He scored twice in Seattle to start the road trip, and hey, you see that microphone? Bring that over here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, any kind of good play, exposure, all of this stuff is ratcheting up that trade value, but here he is afterwards about his hat trick.
Yeah, it was nice. It was especially, it was kind of early in the game, too. It was, you know, I think I had one in preseason, maybe, with pass the back of the day, but not in regular season or anything like that.
Lower.
But as soon as you get two, you always want the third, and I was lucky enough to get it and help the team. Obviously, put us up by three there is, I guess, defensive team like LA. It's a good thing.
I mean, he did not sound like that when he was on our show. I mean, he hasn't spoken in so long. My man
his
is.
Balls dropped.
I was about to say, he's dropped a little bit there. A little depth in his voice. Didn't even recognize him.
Here's the deal is now you don't even have to train him.
Well, I mean, that does raise the question. I mean, with him playing as well as he possibly can at the best time, I mean, March 21st is the trade deadline. Do you think he's possibly reconsidered his trade request? Because
yes.
The one thing that we know about Jake DeBrusk, and the one thing that we have at least been told, not know, but insiders have talked to us about, is that the pandemic was really tough on him mentally and that he was not in a good place. And I'm wondering if now that we're coming out of this and he's starting to play good hockey again, whether that changes his entire outlook
he's
happy here.
The thing is he doesn't like Cassidy. But, I mean, you keep putting up numbers like this, it's hard to still dislike your coach. Now, listen, they're probably looking to move him every day, but if he keeps this up, I mean, obviously not hat tricks, but if he keeps scoring fairly consistently, you don't have to move unless the deal's right.
And that leads me to my point, which is the problem with DeBrusk. The problem with DeBrusk has always been that he's incredibly streaky. He has 7 goals in 5 games after scoring 7 goals the entire season up until now, and it could disappear tomorrow. That's the problem. And he's been in a league long enough now where every other team knows exactly what DeBrusk is about. You scout him for 3 weeks, you see the full Jake DeBrusk package. He could disappear for a month after this. That's the problem. I don't think you're going to get a great deal. I don't think you were talking about how this is going to increase his trade value. I'm not sure of that. I think this is what you're seeing right now is quintessential DeBrusk. And usually when he gets hot, he's not skating with two Hall of Famers.
You don't think that there's other teams that might be saying, well, maybe he just hasn't been with the right people and maybe our
team.
And there's always a team that convinces themselves, especially when someone gets on a hot streak.
How many teams can put DeBrusk next to two Hall of Famers?
Well, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, that is a good point. I mean, he's been playing as well as you could possibly play.
Yeah, because he's playing with two guys that are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers.
My point is, though, is that you don't have to settle now. I don't think you have to get rid of him.
I don't think you're going to get the deal you want. I don't think you're going to get increased value, a first-round pick, a good top-6 forward. You're not going to get that for Jake DeBrusk.
Then I wouldn't move him.
Well, and that's probably what's going to wind up happening.
Now, do you think that if they don't move him at the trade deadline, his play will decrease? Like, in a way that...
It's hard to tell because it could go back in another slump.
That's what I'm saying, is that mentally, we don't quite know where he's at. And I got to think that if he had his hopes up of being traded and he ends up not being traded, he might slip back and you may have lost all the value you would have gotten if you didn't get rid of him.
What Jaffe and Beers have said on the hockey show is that he doesn't like Cassidy's coaching style. In that, especially Cassidy calling people out publicly. Like, he doesn't like that.
And but he handled this very, very mature. He was very mature during all this. He said he wanted to. He didn't want to be, you know, albatross to the team. He didn't want to be a distraction. He hasn't been.
How did this get out again? It's been so long. Like, how did it leak out? His agent. So his agent went public?
Yes.
His agent went public with
it.
That's right. And so, okay, you get going, and I'm sure, you know, when you say, and what Cassie just said there is he's like, you know, he's still learning, you know, winning the battles on the boards, because Cassidy's big problem with him is that basically he's kind of a wuss, that he won't win battles in the corners. I mean, you agree with that, John, right?
Yes.
That's been his critique.
Yes.
He's kind of a wuss. So if you're scoring and the coach is saying positive things about you, I don't get the feeling with DeBrus that, like, if the trade deadline comes and goes, he's going to, like, throw a fit. And what this does is if he can do anything, I mean, if he can score goals in any kind of clip, then I'm not dumping him just to dump him. I don't think they're in that situation.
He's got a year left after this, right?
No, he's a restricted free agent after this
year. Oh, he's restricted, okay.
Yeah. But, again, it's hard to tell. I mean, he could get pissed and stop scoring, or he could be happy and stop scoring. You know, who's really to tell? Well, who can tell
But if you're Sweeney, do you feel like you absolutely have to move him, even if the deal's not right?
No.
Yeah, so
no.
That's all I'm saying.
No.
Do I think he's going to keep this up? Absolutely not. But listen, if putting him on the top line and they're winning games and he's scoring like this, keep him on the top line.
Anything to give this core one more run at it. And in order for them to get one more run at it, you need DeBrusk to keep scoring. You need Charlie McAvoy to hold up under relentless punishment in a playoff series. And one thing we haven't talked about, you need Jeremy Swayman to get hot and stay hot. We've seen Ullmark's top game. You need this kid.
Swayman's your goaltender.
Right. You need this kid to be the unquestioned number one. Have him start four out of every five games, or if you have a back-to-back like tonight, you play Ullmark. But you need Swayman to just, here, kid, take it. It's yours.
Yes.
You can't have Ullmark play every third game.
No.
You need this kid to continue to get reps. And the fact, the excuse of, well, he hasn't played a lot of NHL games. He's played enough now. This is it. Give it to him. Let him do it. And you saw. I mean, he had a 34-save shutout last night. And if you look at his numbers, if you project him out, he's a top-five goaltender in this league. Leave him alone.
Did you see the question and answer with Fluto in The Athletic? And someone asked him, like, hey, you know how they got beat up by the Islanders last year? Do you think that they've gotten tougher on the back end? And he was like, no.
No, they haven't. There's no.
He goes, no.
He actually, I read the same thing you did. He actually called out Derek Forbort. He said, I thought Forbort would be tougher.
Yeah, well, you would assume since he's a giant.
Yeah.
I never got that. I never get that with hockey players. Like, if you're in a room of hockey players, they're like handsome gentlemen that are in good shape, mm-hmm. but you're not like over. It's not like being at a Celtics practice or something, or being like with the Patriots defense, where you're like, oh my god, look at the size.
Right,
where
they're
guys.
Imposing. Yes.
Right. So you would figure just by your size that you would be able to throw your body around, and some guys don't want
to
do it.
Or maybe you've taken a hit or two getting to the NHL. Maybe there were a couple of minor junior games where you actually had to mix it up a little bit.
Did you read that thing they did about Chara the other day in The Athletic, where Milbury's talking about how, you know, when the Islanders were looking to possibly draft him, they didn't have a ton of tape on him, and they sat down in the interview process. Milbury sits across from him and goes, I mean, you're a big guy, but can you fight? And they said deadpan, Chara not even showing any emotion, just says, best not to F with me. And that was his answer. Right?
We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Zdeno Chara set the NHL record for most games played by a defenseman. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, he fought.
Some guy fought him, and Z dropped him.
Yeah,
it was great.
Kicked the guy's ass and patted him on the head.
That's
like,
right.
Okay.
All right, run along, Junior. You're done.
And I get not everyone has been stretched out in a stone shack behind their house while the entire time they were growing up by some Where is he from again? I don't want to get it wrong.
Is it Czechoslovakia?
No, I think it's Slovakia.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
so not everyone has like a Slovakian, like, you know, weightlifter dad, that like Olympic athlete that's going to stretch out and like basically torture you in a back stone room. I get that, but you would just see just like in the NHL, if you're like 6'2", like 240, like you're massive.
Yeah, yeah.
Just throw your body around. Yep. How hard is it?
Well, the Bruins, they got 3 games left on their 6-game road trip tonight. They take on the Ducks at the unholy hour of 10 p.m. if you're willing to stay up once again. But, yeah, these games, they seem like home games on each of these.
Oh, well, I told you, there's nothing like, you know, being in a city with Boston fans that don't live in Boston anymore. They treat it. It's really annoying.
By the way, when I was in Vegas, that's, I mean, you know, we've had Dave Gosher on the show and tell us the same thing, but that's a real fan base. Like, there's real hockey fans in Las Vegas, which you would never expect because it seems like such a weird, almost transient town. But they have a huge. But then again, all you have to do is watch a game to realize that they have a real fan base.
Yeah, LA's got a fan base. It's just, you know, Bruins fans, you know, a bunch of people from Boston live there and they buy tickets to those games and they treat it like, I mean, I told you, Cub games and Red Sox games in Atlanta were just torture because it would be like July and they'd be like, let's go Red Sox.
Yeah, there was about a decade in there where Red Sox fans were everywhere.
And you'd just be like, shut up. Yep. Like, it's July.
Yep.
Like, cut it out. Like, I'm here to drink. Not like hear you spaz out over like, you know, a 6-pitch walk.
I went to a Mets game a couple seasons ago, and I remember like in Fenway Park, it was almost more Mets fans than it was Red Sox fans.
I know Cardinals fans
travel well too, but the Mets seem to be more obnoxious.
All wearing those blue uniforms. Yes, that's right.
But I told you before the game, I go, no one likes wearing a Mets jersey like a Mets fan. Like it might not even be that many Mets fans are there, but they're all wearing a Mets jersey.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Because I've been to games at Fenway where the Mets weren't playing, and there was like 10 guys with Mets jerseys on. Like, I might be here, but my spirit lies elsewhere with the Mets. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, let's get to the progress, or maybe not, in the old baseball talks that went until 2:30 in the morning. Just 4 hours ago, these things ended up wrapping up.
All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Of there being a 14 playoff team format for a while, the sides reportedly did agree that a 12 team format was better. There were talks about the shift.
There's 30 Major League Baseball teams.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, they're turning it into hockey and basketball. And yeah.
And by the way, if you're going to have 162 game regular season, you might as well just not have it not count.
All I'm saying is you have all of these games, and the owner's like, no, you know what? We want more money, and we want to make sure that all these games are on TV and that networks have to pay for it. And so more playoff games means more money for the owners. We were talking about the Atlanta Braves, whose books were released. The Atlanta Braves made over $100 million last year, but that's not enough. Not enough.
No.
Teams want more.
More.
You get more, another playoff round, you get more.
No, I know. And that's just a way to, like, try to, you know, justify paying players more. But, you know, I see these books, and Rich has got the information. I don't want to interrupt him too much, but, like, the Braves have every right to make $100 million.
I understand.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sure. Like, you have the right to do that. Like, they have a right to make a lot of money.
The argument, though, has been
you know, they're making more money, yet the average salary for baseball players have gone down each of the last 4 years.
Which I get, which needs to be rectified. I agree with that.
Sorry, Rich.
Good. Well, no. I mean, it's you're exactly right, because, I mean, that's what they're bickering about is the money. I mean, they met in the middle on things like the shift and other smaller details, but they are just really torn apart on the cash. Meanwhile, you had players like Bryce Harper teasing on social media they'd be willing to play in Japan in the meantime, because I guess they're allowed to do that. Hey, remember that awful few months of the pandemic when the only sports were Asian baseball and ESPN?
Korean baseball, yes. On awesome. TV while we were on the air.
Yep. Let's do it again. Yep. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, and stick that hillbilly with his, you know, sixth grade education in Japan and see how much he likes it. You know Bryce Harper's story. His dad pulled him out of high school when he was like 12.
That's true.
And look who's laughing now, Fred. So even
MVP
if
VP of the National League, my friend.
This is interesting, though, because even if it sounds like progress was made, it sounds like Jeff Passan still skeptical. Can you turn me up there?
I suppose, Greeny, if you are the sort of person who believes in miracles, then you think that there could be a deal. If you are a rational person, if you look at the way that the trajectory of this whole thing has gone, where for 1 year now they've been talking and have just inched forward, then yeah, we're not going to have baseball on opening day. It's a shame, and it's a horrendous day for the sport, and a lot of people are to blame for this. And it's really, really, as Rob Manfred said himself, a disastrous outcome.
Okay. Well, we'll see. 5 o'clock today until it's 5 o'clock tomorrow, until it's 5 o'clock the next day.
There has to be, I mean, this may not be a hard deadline, but Fred, I think you agree with me. It's coming up.
Yes.
I mean, this is about pitchers, and pitchers need more than 2 weeks to ramp up.
Right.
And so the opening day is what, the 29th, 30th,
31st?
We're 4 weeks out. I mean, this is, we're getting to the point now where there isn't enough time.
But there are and you're absolutely right, and it's not the same. You need a traditional spring training and all that, but a lot of these guys have gone to Florida and are working out right now.
Well, didn't you talk to Chris Cotillo last week? And
yes.
We're going to have on a little
too. We had Chris Cotillo on, and of course he was not at the Red Sox facility, but he was at Dunk City, baby, watching Chris Sale throw. Because Sale went to Florida Gulf Coast. So,
and Pivetta too, right?
Yes,
He was a Supreme Court candidate.
That's right. So I asked Cotillo, is it true they built a basketball arena and then the campus around it? He's like, oh, I'm not sure. Makes sense, though, based on what I'm looking at.
I have looked at the campus, and that is what it appears to be. My theory on this is just, you know, in the past, they've just not met. And what did I read? One of the agents said Flag Day was when he thought that it was going to start. Which is when? June 14th or something?
I know what you're talking about. This is a email that a former agent sent to all of his fellow agents and some of the players he used to represent on December 1st, when the players were originally locked out, who said, have a good Valentine's Day, have a happy Easter, and have a good Flag Day. I'll see you this summer.
Yeah, and so it depends who you read, though. Passan, who's great, and who's the guy now. I mean, Passan has made himself the guy, is very negative. I don't know how much you want to believe John Heyman, but Heyman has talked to players throughout this process that have believed that this can get done.
Well, Heyman was the only voice of positivity yesterday before the meeting started. And, I mean, if you just on the surface look at what happened last night as being somewhat of a good move, then maybe he was the only one who was right. Maybe they were right there. But money's a big deal. Like, all these little things, those are easy to iron out.
The spending ceiling is the big one.
That's the big one, and they still apparently are far apart.
And it's the only thing. The thing with the players' union, though, is that you represent more than the Bryce Harpers and the Chris Sales of the world. Is that a lot, you know, what percentage would you say, John? 60% of the league can't really afford to miss a year?
Right. At least, not more.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about guys need to play. I don't know. I was thinking about this yesterday. If I'm Manfred, and I understand you represent the owners and it's not really his call, but I wouldn't want to be the commissioner that is postponing the season and all this. And after COVID and all the crap that everyone's been through, it'd be nice just to throw everyone a bone and just have a season. And again, this one's big to me. My son's 13. If he's going to be a baseball fan, this is the year. And if they don't have it, what am I going to do?
How many work stoppages under Bud Selig's watch? There were at least a few. Right?
Yeah, well, there was 93, which was fortunate because I was in college and couldn't have cared less. But if you're an Expos fan, you can't like that. That was when the Expos had like a Hall of Fame team, and then they canceled everything.
That's right. They were far and away the best team in the National League, and then they stopped the season. Yes,
yeah, and they stopped the season. So, yeah, I mean, they've stopped seasons before. To me, if they're meeting for this long, it means something. I mean,
the owners moving a little bit on the competitive balance tax or the spending ceiling is big. Now, they didn't move a lot. They moved $5, $10 million. They're still about $20 million apart from the players. But I think someone in the room said, all right, I mean, let's put it out there. We're not the number one game in town anymore. We need people to come watch us. And if we miss a month of the season, fewer people are going to come watch us. I mean, we're getting TV money, but we also need fans. So
plus they're the ones that they have the best digital product. They have for years. Like, they figured all that out, and now just to waste it. I mean, the MLB.com is the best. They figured it out. They have, if you get the Oculus, they have, virtual reality stuff that you can watch. Virtual reality, but they've really done a good job with all of that.
Why is everybody canceling the MLB Network? I saw that like Catherine Veritek was like tweeting about it.
Well, that's how protest. Fans would protest. You know, don't buy the MLB package. Don't put money in their pockets.
Oh, that's the pro.
And
then the MLB Network came in. They said, we're not going to charge you. Because there's no baseball. Why would we? You don't have to pay.
No, but it has everything to do with even if and when you come back. This is ridiculous. Right. One quick thing before we break. I was reading last night that a lot of the lower market teams, like the Tampa Bays and, you know, the teams that don't spend a lot of money, are perfectly content to miss the first 2 months of the season to limit their payroll. I mean, they don't want to spend the money. Part of the reason why Derek Jeter left the Miami Marlins yesterday. They don't want to spend money to improve their product. They're perfectly happy with, you know, the money that comes in from the TV revenue and the competitive balance stuff.
Then they shouldn't have teams.
You're absolutely right. But the reality such as it is, that's the rumor. That's the rumor that's holding things up a little bit.
How Tampa Bay has a team, I'll never...
Kansas City, I mean, the smaller market teams are content. You know what? If we miss a couple of months, that's fewer dollars we have to spend on our players.
And by the way, they want to expand to other markets. They want to have 32 teams. Delaying things isn't going to help that.
Well, the big talk when I was out west was Vegas. Is them moving into Vegas because of the success of what they've had out there.
It's Seattle, Vegas, Montreal, and...
Another Seattle team?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean Portland.
Yes.
Portland, Vegas, Montreal, and San Antonio were the four markets that I heard.
I can understand. Montreal's been clamoring for one for decades now, ever since they lost the one they had.
I wouldn't mind them getting a team. All right, we'll be...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.